Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, March 25th, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters. It's 225 days until the presidential election. The fastest 3 hours on the internet start now. We've got a press conference from Donald Trump responding to the latest news. It's hard to even keep track which court case he's in, which state he's in, which city he's in. He's just, the Democrats have him tied up with all these legal issues during the election cycle. But he gave a rather lengthy press conference, longer than any press conference Joe Biden has given this year. So we're going to air some of that, maybe even the whole thing. And it was really kind of a press conference slash campaign statements that were made by Donald Trump during that. You also have some news from Kamala Harris, some just clown world news from Kamala Harris. There was a big development in the situation with Israel and Palestine, and then, of course, Putin speaking on the attack in Moscow last week. You know that the Biden White House has not made any public statements on that? That is pretty incredible, isn't it? That is, it really says a lot, actually. The fact that the Biden administration has said nothing actually says quite a bit, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Speaking of the Biden administration, this is just amazing. Remember when Joe Biden slipped up, what a lot of people think was a Freudian slip, and said, oh, we've created the greatest election fraud scheme in the history of American politics. And then he pulls out the greatest election fraud in the history of American politics. Maybe he was being honest. Now the Biden White House says they're building a superstructure to keep Trump from, in their words, stealing the election. But really, let's just tell it like it is. The Biden White House is building a political superstructure to make sure Trump doesn't win in 2024. And I've kind of reevaluated all of this. And, you know, betting odds change. Betting odds change, lines change all the time. And I would now say Joe Biden is the favorite to win 2024 presidential election. Now, I'm going to say something that's a paradox here. That's why it's more important ever to vote. You say, what? They're just going to steal it. Why should I vote? Well, no, that's actually why it's the most important time to vote. But I'll explain that coming up. But if I'm a political odds maker, maybe I am here on the air, I now have Joe Biden as the favorite to win the 2024 election. Again, lines change, odds change. Who knows what's even going to happen between now and the Democrat convention in Chicago coming up in August. But right now, when the White House says we're creating a superstructure to make sure Trump can't win, I mean, folks, they just said the whole deal. We're not going to let Trump win. Okay, well, okay, then I'm going to bet on Biden. The party in power, Joe Biden, has said they're not going to let Trump win. So, yeah, I'm not going to bet on the guy they say they're not going to let win. But I'll explain why that makes it more important than ever to vote. Now, that omnibus bill that everybody was complaining about, well, not everybody. Many Republicans in the House were complaining about that passes over the weekend, passes the Senate. It's nice. $1.2 trillion for gay and lesbian rec centers and retirement homes. Yeah. I identify as a 75-year-old faggot, and I want free stuff. Yes, that's how it works in America now. Oh, we got more on that. And coming up today in the third hour, the great Tommy Sotomayor. Really looking forward to having him on the show once again. It's all coming up after this short break. It's the InfoWars War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Biden White House comes out and says they're building an election superstructure to make sure Donald Trump can't win in 2024. Well, I tend to listen. I tend to listen. And if I'm a political odds maker, Trump had been the favorite up until this point. Now I'd say Joe Biden is the favorite. Now, again, folks, lines change, odds change. My opinion could change tomorrow. There could be something big that happens next week that changed my odds. But where it stands, I would not take that lightly. Just like when Joe Biden, many say, slipped up and actually told the truth for once, the fact checkers say it was taken out of context. When Joe Biden said, we created the greatest election fraud infrastructure in the history of American politics. In fact, maybe I'll have the crew pull that video up because I actually didn't send them to him. But we should actually probably play that clip, and you can judge for yourself what you think he means. But they are not confusing words here. This is outright blatant in your face. And this is all over the media. This was a huge story over the weekend, syndicated all over the mainstream news publications. Biden White House is building a superstructure to stop Trump from stealing, is what they say, the election. Now, what does this mean practically, and what is this? What are they going to try to project this on, like the allegory of the cave, to the American people? Oh, well, we're just going after Trump for all the crimes. We're making sure no one's above the law. We're going to make sure that there's no illegal votes. We're going to stop fake news. That's the allegory of the cave that they're going to project and say, oh, we're just doing all these good things. Nobody can deny Trump is a criminal and a villain. Nobody can deny that Republicans want to steal elections. Nobody can deny all the fake news and the misinformation and the lies that get told by Trump and his voters. We're just stopping that. So this is really just a repeat of what they did in 2020, essentially. So the question becomes, do they actually have the infrastructure to rig another election? Do they have the mail-in votes? Do they have the fake ballots? Do they have the tabulations and the data? Has there been enough work done by the Republican Party to eliminate the dead voters or the people that have moved states? In other words, all the bonus Democrat votes. Have the Republicans done enough? With the new RNC co-chair, Laura Trump, she seems to understand the issue. But the question remains, have they done enough? What more can they do? And there's the issue of censorship. Would it really have made a difference? Would it really have changed the outcome of the 2020 election if you didn't have the massive censorship campaigns happening on social media, specifically in regards to the Hunter Biden laptop? Could a similar censorship campaign be successful ahead of the 2024 election? They're going to try, no doubt about it. What sort of tricks do you think they have up their sleeve for X? Well, actually, we've got this one woman. We got a clip from her today where she was talking about how they censor on social media. And this woman looks exactly like you would think. I mean, you almost can't even believe it. It's the half butch buzz cut one side, half comb over, you know, lesbian hippie look. And she goes on 60 Minutes, talks about how they're going to try to censor X. And I guess they think they can censor TikTok just by forcing the sale of it, forcing the control of it over to somebody else that's friendly with the deep state that'll help get Biden involved or that'll help keep information the Biden White House doesn't want on TikTok or the deep state of the Democrat Party at large. But these are all the factors. These are all the factors. So, the Democrats plan to steal another election, and they're telling you. But it's the classic inversionism of any authoritarianism, any authoritarian dictatorship, where you say what you're doing out loud, but you invert it to make it sound like it's a good thing. Like, oh, the Women's March, it was really just an anti-Trump march. Oh, Black Lives Matter, it's really just about causing riots in the streets, racial division, Marxism. Oh, we're building a superstructure to stop an election from being stolen. They're stealing the election. They're stealing the election. So as of today, Trump has been the favorite to win. Don't take this lightly. They've just said their plan. What is the Biden strategy to win in 2024? What is the Democrat strategy? They don't have one. This is their strategy. They have nothing to run on. They have run out of options. They even tried with the abortion deal, and it didn't take. Nobody's buying it. It turns out, even single-issue voters, liberal women, that fall for all the abortion propaganda, but will never have one themselves, 90% of these women won't ever have an abortion, never did. They just fall for the propaganda that somehow they will be denied health care. So they thought, well, this is a single issue vote. We can get the people out, and it returned nothing. It turns out that even women that might be pro-abortion want to live in a safe community, don't want to be broke, don't want to have open borders, don't want to have wars overseas. Turns out that's the deal. So what can Biden run on? Economy? No. Peace? In the world? No. Safety, security? No. Immigration? No. So they've exhausted every legitimate political policy, and now they're just going with outright theft. And they're not even hiding it. They're cloaking it, but this is the Democrat strategy, to steal 2024. So the paradox. Now I say Joe Biden is the favorite to win in 2024. As of 3:14 p.m. Central Time on March 25th, 2024, Joe Biden is now the favorite. Of course he is. If you are watching a sporting event and the refs and the scorekeepers say, hey, we're going to make sure that the team over there, that we're going to make sure the home team has more points at the end of the game than the away team. Well, are you going to bet on the away team? Of course not. Now, things could change. Things could happen. They might remove the ref. They might remove the scorekeeper. They might bring in some oversight. They might make it impossible to do that. But this is their plan. So what is the Republican response going to be to the Biden White House openly admitting their plans to steal the 2024 election? By hook or by crook? What will their response be? So what's the paradox? Well, this just means it's more important to vote than ever. What do you mean if they're just going to steal it? If my vote is going to be canceled by a dead guy, if my vote is going to be canceled by a Democrat's pet goldfish, why should I go vote? Well, because this is when you run up the score. This is when you double up the score. And then when everybody sees Donald Trump doubles up, triples up, quadruples up Joe Biden in support, the rallies, the turnout, the narrative, the discourse, the discussions, everything, and then Biden gets 90 million votes to Trump's 80, people are going to say, huh. And it's not going to be you that's informed. It's not going to be the Trump supporter that's informed that resulted in a million plus people in Washington, D.C. on January 6th saying you stole our election. It's going to be the average American that's not even really politically involved or informed that's just going to sit there and scratch their head and say, I don't know a single Biden voter. I know 100 Trump voters, but not a single Biden. How does he win? So we have to be more vocal. We have to have bigger turnout. That's the paradox. So yeah, they might come steal it. They might completely nullify your vote. Who knows? You might go vote for Trump and then some tabulation magic, bing, bong, bing, bing, and it comes out for Biden. People are going to notice. like after 2020's election, let's say after January 6th, and maybe some of this was fear, maybe it's legitimate, about 30% of people said that Donald Trump really won the election. Now that number is approaching 50% of Americans think that Trump actually won the 2020 election. And they're going to figure this out, folks. They're going to figure this out. Illegal immigration, record numbers, inflation, record numbers. The crime, everything, the poverty, the energy costs, the cost of living. They're going to figure this out. They're going to see the real impact. They've felt the impact. And they're going to scratch their head and they're going to say, there is no way. There is no way Joe Biden won. And then once you remove the legitimacy of government, the entire paradigm changes. And the only thing that the Democrats who will remain in power will have is power behind the barrel of a gun. And it'll be the final phase for them to go full authoritarian, take off the mask, and then the American people to decide what they want to do. Do they want to live in a single party dictatorship? Or do they want to have elections? Do they want to have a real media? Do they want to have a real president? So that's the trajectory that I see us on right now. Again, anything can change. We still got 225 days. So much, in fact, is going to change between now and then. But there should be a sharp response from the RNC. Now, Trump's a little busy with all these lawsuits. But this is where the RNC needs to kick into gear. Forget about, the Republican Party, the representation at large is pretty much worthless. So you can't expect anything there. But now that Laura Trump runs the RNC, that, you know what? That's a tool that we can use to push back on this crap. Now, I think we might have the video here. Is this the video, guys? So here's the video of Joe Biden either slipping up and telling the truth about they're making the greatest election fraud in the history, or just saying this out of context. But here's the video we're discussing. Go ahead.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
The most extensive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics, quoting Joe Biden before the 2020 election. Now, again, you could say, well, he's out of context. He's saying they're going to fight voter fraud, but that's not what he said, is it? And that's not what happened, is it? So, yeah, I take the Biden White House very seriously when they say they're building a superstructure to stop Trump from stealing the election. This will include throwing Trump in jail. This will include internet censorship, internet kill switches, fake news stories, probably AI deepfakes, pumping dead voters and pet voters and felon voters, anything else they can into the Democrat Party. Voter rolls, all the above. And then who knows what types of shenanigans happen inside these election machines anyway. But that's just a completely separate issue, perhaps. The Democrat superstructure to stop Trump from stealing the election. The Democrat superstructure, they say. Superstructure. Because you don't get to decide, you the American people. You don't get to decide. That's for the deep state to decide. That's for the intelligence agencies to decide. That's for your political overlords to decide. Not you. Not you, you dirty American. The Biden White House will decide who your next president is. Not you. Don't you get how this works? But this is no doubt part of their superstructure. Here's Here's communist Karen, Kate Starbird, probably not even a real name, talking about how they want to censor and how they have censored in the past on 60 Minutes this weekend.
Kate Starbird says the social media platforms also often ignored the researchers' suggestions.
The statistics I've seen are just for the Twitter platform, but my understanding is that they responded to about 30% of the things that we sent them. And I think on the majority of those, they put labels.
But just a third?
But just a third, yeah.
And do you suspect that Facebook was the same?
Yeah.
Just a third. They only got a third of what they wanted censored. Only a third. Imagine that from Kate Starbird. Yeah, and I'm John Big Johnson. Kate Starbird, give me a break. And she, if you're an audio audience today, she looks exactly like you would think. She's got the butch lesbian haircut with the shave job on one side, the comb over on the other, pale skinned, looks dead on the inside. Like you're vegan starving person, liberal hippie. Kate Starbird. Starbird. Deciding who you should vote for, or more importantly, deciding what you should or shouldn't see, what you can and cannot see. See, that's what it's all about. You don't get to decide who you vote for. They do. They're more important than you. It's kind of like what's going on in the Republican Party here. Now, Senator Lisa Murkowski signals openness to leaving the GOP. I told you they'd be fleeing before the election. The Alaskan Republican, a vocal critic of former President Donald Trump, says she regrets that the GOP is seemingly becoming the party of Trump. These people have a mental disorder. They have a mental delusion. They're missing it. It's not the party of Trump. Trump might be the leader. It's the party of the American people. It's the party of a populist movement, a nationalist movement. It's the party of common sense. It's not, Trump is just a name, a figurehead, a golden toad beaming from the top. And Kate Starbird. Kate Starbird wants to stop you from seeing the information before the election. She's a good liberal. She's a good liberal. Oh, Lisa Murkowski, I don't want to be a part of the party of Donald Trump. They have this mindset. They have this delusion that somehow power, influence, all comes from D.C. And they're missing the entire purpose of the United States of America. It's supposed to be we the people. Okay? You're supposed to work for us. Washington, D.C. doesn't decide the flow of power, the flow of information, the flow of politics. We the people decide that. And Lisa Murkowski is basically telling you how they feel. Oh, well, these Trump supporters, they don't like the D.C. establishment. These Trump supporters don't like power being wielded from D.C. and influence and deception and domination. They don't like all of this coming from Washington, D.C., this party of Trump. So I'm leaving this party. Starbird had a cup of coffee in the WNBA, averaging 1.7 points per game. And she's never forgotten it. The bitterness. Bitterness. Starbird. Lisa Murkowski, I don't want to be a part of the party of Trump. Well, what about the American people? What about the most votes in the history of America until Joe Biden's vote Viagra? What about the millions and millions? What about the tens of millions of Trump voters? Lisa, that's the party of Trump. She doesn't want to be a part of that. She doesn't like we the people deciding our own fate. She doesn't like we the people getting sick of the power in Washington, D.C. So she's threatening to leave the Republican Party now. Go ahead. Go ahead. You just voted for this damn omnibus bill anyway. So what the hell good are you? You're no good. But this isn't the end of it. There's going to be more in the House. Who knows? There might be another senator or two, and they're going to say, we can't be a part. And it's all this political blackmail almost, or like tug of war. Like, well, you know the Republican Party barely has any power in D.C. You're just clinging. You're clinging to a fraction of power in D.C. And if we, the Trump haters, leave, then you'll have nothing. Oh, but what about the American people you're supposed to represent? Oh, that's right. You think that everything comes from Washington, D.C. You work for Washington, D.C. now. You work for your donors. You work for your lobbyists. You work for yourself. All the Americans, the biggest political movement in modern day American history, you're not a part of it. And you don't want to be a part of it. So you're going to lead the Republican Party, and you're going to sit here and hold the Republican Party and the American voters hostage, and you're going to say, you better get rid of Trump or we'll destroy this party. Meanwhile, the Democrats are like, yeah, we're building a political infrastructure and election infrastructure to make sure Trump can't get anyway. So, yeah, you guys go ahead and self-sabotage. We're over here gearing up for the next rig job in a presidential election. Thank you, Lisa Murkowski. Thank you, Ken Buck. You've done great. But one thing that gets your blood going is a little AC/DC. But another thing is Nitric Boost from InfoWarsStore.com. Combine the two and look out. Nitric Boost from InfoWarsStore.com. We're really proud of this product. You want to talk about blood flow. Over the last 12 months, there hasn't been a more dynamic, more important product in the InfoWars store than Nitric Boost. It's all about that nitric oxide. It's all about that blood flow. Nitric oxide is a molecule that plays various important roles in the body, contributing to both physiological and pathological processes like vasodilation. Nitric oxide is a potent vasodilator, meaning it can help relax and widen blood vessels. This is why so many people will take vasodilators before exercising, and you see those big veiny arms when they're working out. That's because of the blood flow and the vasodilation. Nitric Boost, great for that. Cardiovascular health, of course, when it comes to blood flow, you're talking about cardiovascular health. Immune system support helps get the blood flow, and it's also an antimicrobial as well in the immune system response. Better performance when you're exercising. It's all about blood flow. Nitric Boost, very popular product at InfoWarsStore.com. Very popular. 25% off right now. 25% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's a home run. You can't go wrong with Nitric Boost. And when you shop at InfoWarsStore.com, you support us right here on the air. And we're grateful for that. All right. Okay. Kamala Harris. This woman is such a phony. It really hurts that such a phony could exist. But she does. And she went to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School on Saturday. And so this is what dictators always do. Is they'll take an issue that appears obvious, like, hey, nobody wants school shootings. Well, of course not. Who would want a school shooting? Well, maybe a Democrat that wants to take your guns so they can use that to take your guns. But she goes to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, where the school shooting happened. I think it was like 2017. And by the way, many of the parents have become pro-Second Amendment activists because of that, saying, you know, look, gun legislation isn't going to stop the next school shooter, and it's not, it hasn't, it never will. But an armed guard at the school would. It's not the world we want to live in, but it's just the logical reality of the situation. So she goes to talk about red flag laws. Now, again, this seems like, hey, yeah, okay, well, if we can identify a threat and take that person's firearms, then we should be good. But obviously there's something lurking behind this. But first, here's Kamala Harris. And the game you might play is, What voice is Kamala Harris going to show up with today? What cadence is she going to be speaking with? What tone? Which Kamala Harris is going to be showing up? Kamala Harris with a bucket of fried chicken in the South? Kamala Harris speaking like a preacher at a Baptist church? Kamala Harris pretending to be diplomatic and speaking slowly and eloquently? Are you going to get the Musk mouth? Says a lot, but says nothing? Let's find out.
Red flag laws. Red flag laws are simply designed.
All right, so we're getting the diplomatic Kamala.
Communities a vehicle through which they can share and have somewhere to share it.
She pretends to be thoughtful.
Information about the concern about the potential danger or the crying out for help of an individual.
Oh my gosh, she's so insulted.
And let's give it to them.
Has there ever been a bigger phony?
You know, there are only about 21 states that have passed red flag laws. So part of why I'm here today is to challenge every state. Pass a red flag law. See how these leaders and these parents, through their advocacy born out of tragedy, have changed some of the laws in this state.
Now see what they do. Pause it. See what they do. Yeah, there are parents there that lost their kids and they're upset and they have political views. But that doesn't make them political overlords. That doesn't make them political overlords. If a woman gets raped, if a woman gets brutally raped and then says, I want legislation to chop every man's genitals off. And because I'm raped, because I'm a victim now, every man needs to chop his balls off. Well, no, sorry. It's not how this works. So, yeah, it's tragic. You lost your child. That doesn't mean that I lose my rights. But notice what they do. They only pick and choose the parents that have their same politics. And it's probably about a 50-50 split. About half of the parents that have become vocal on this issue since the shooting have been pro-Second Amendment. And about half the parents that have been vocal after this shooting have been anti-Second Amendment. So they made sure to only choose the ones that were anti-Second Amendment. Of course they did. These are totalitarians. They can't have anybody up there that thinks differently. They can't allow you the idea of free thought or freedom of choice that there might be another option. But she's getting into the red flag laws, and we don't need to play any more of her. It's all phonyism anyway. So we get the diplomatic Kamala who talks real slowly and does things with her hands. Because her hands can do things. And when your hands do things, some people think you're doing things with your hands. So pass the red flag laws. Look at these parents. These parents are looking at you. It's real easy, isn't it? So the Justice Department comes out with a statement in a follow-up to Phony Harris. The Justice Department launches the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. How wordy. How nice. The Extreme Risk Protection Resource Center. It's got to be great then, right? I mean, it's just got to be fantastic. The launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. These stupid acronyms, I'm sorry. We'll provide our partners across the country with valuable resources, so your money, to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others. No, you won't. The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the BS Act, to protect communities from gun violence. How do the police protect from gun violence? With a gun. Now, let's be clear here. Again, all of this, you might buy into this. And you know, I might like unicorns and leprechauns and pots of gold at the end of the rainbow. I might like all that. I might like soaring on a rainbow with fairy dust. But none of it's real. What is going to be the end result of red flag laws? It's going to be used politically to take guns out of conservatives' hands, Christians' hands, Republicans' hands. That's what it's all going to be about. Now, remember, there was a judge last week, and I was maybe the only voice, say it in conservative media, if you even want to exist in these boxes ideologically, I don't, but just to put it to you, I was probably the only voice in conservative media that said, I actually agree with the judge that says an illegal immigrant should have the right to a firearm, because or the Second Amendment, because it's not even about a firearm. It's about self-defense. Yeah, if a person is here illegally and somebody's stopping his head into the ground, he should have the right to defend himself. If he has a gun on his waist and he wants to shoot somebody that's about to kill him, I would say, yeah, that's justified. Now, after that, you might need to be deported. But see, the same week they come out and they say an illegal immigrant should have the right to self-defense, an illegal immigrant has a Second Amendment right, then they say we need red flag laws to take the guns out of Americans' hands. And it'll be your liberal Karen Kate Starbird who calls the Justice Department and says, oh, I saw somebody in a MAGA hat take their gun.
A criminal offense to be a conservative, a Trump supporter, or they'll just say you have a mental disorder and then they'll come and take your gun. They're actually already doing this, by the way, but that's another story for another day. Not quite at liberty to discuss, but it's actually already going on. So just know that the Democrats are actually disarming Trump supporters every day. Little do you know. Little do you know. But now they just want to make legislation to just say, oh, so Karen Starbird can call the Department of Justice. My neighbors have a Trump sign in their yard, and I think I saw a gun safe in their garage. I need to call the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. All of this stuff is so illogical, not to mention unconstitutional. But did that ever stop a Democrat dictator? But see what they do? They use the backdrop of the school shooting, a horrific massacre, and they say, see, now you have to lose your rights. Well, what? I don't live in the state. I have nothing to do with that. Doesn't matter. Look, there was a shooting here. Red flag laws. Oh, come on. The government wouldn't abuse that. Democrats wouldn't abuse that. You have to be an absolute moron to not see where that goes. I mean, really a moron. But look. So here's Kamala Harris, the same woman pushing the red flag laws, the same woman pushing all this big government tyranny. But then they have to admit the threat of government tyranny when it comes to Trump. Listen to this in clip 16.
The former president has stated an intention to weaponize the Department of Justice against his enemies. We look at what America stands for, and our pride as Americans include, I think for most of us, knowing that we are a world leader.
Shut up, bitch! Trump is going to weaponize the government against his opposition, says the woman in the Biden administration that has weaponized the government against Trump. Aside from the right-left paradigm, What's the actual recognition here? What's the legitimate recognition here that big government tyranny can be used and can be abused against anybody, but let's say against your political opposition? So Kamala Harris recognizes the dangers of big government or of any government, bureaucracy, what have you, being used against the political opposition or any individual you might not like or agree with. And she sees how dangerous that is. But then she's on the other side of this debate saying we need bigger government. We need red flag laws. Which, of course, the Democrats would never use against their political opposition. So it's like, what would you even call that? It's like triple inversion mental therapy. It's like triple inversion mental therapy. First, they weaponize the government against their political opposition, Donald Trump. Then they build a bigger government infrastructure that they can then weaponize against their political opposition as they're doing, and then they come out and make a public statement saying, we can't let Trump get in power. He might weaponize the government against us. So it's like triple inversion mental propaganda. And for Kamala Harris, it might just come naturally. I don't even think she even knows what's going on. She's just, it just comes naturally for her. Now, you may recall, this is just, Ronna McDaniel working for NBC and MSNBC now, and I guess MSNBC is just like a, it's like where Republicans go to pasture when they're no longer wanted by the party anymore, like Joe Scarborough. That's kind of the pasture they go to and graze. So now Ronna Romney McDaniel is the latest. But listen to the tough guy, Joe and Mika Brzezinski, responding to this news of Ronna Romney McDaniel coming to join their team on MSNBC.
Let's talk about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel.
Well, she was on Sunday's Meet the Press. It was her first appearance since the NBC since NBC News hired her as a political analyst. I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her.
I doubt that.
We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons.
Your shrink's calling you, seeing if you're okay.
Including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
Something Democrats do all the time.
We believe
that every presidential election they lost
seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage. But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier.
Wow, guys, Mika really struggled through that one, but she did it.
Reconsider its decision.
She did it.
It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on
this. This is not easy for Mika.
Capacity as a paid contributor. Here's why.
Pool flotation devices have about the same IQ as Mika.
Do you disagree with Trump saying he's going to free those who've been charged?
I do not think people who committed violent acts on January 6th should be freed.
So you disagree with that? He's been saying that for months. Ronna, why not speak out earlier? Why just speak out about that now?
Here comes the pressure.
When you're
the screws on
chair, you kind of take one for the whole team, right? Now I get to be a little bit more myself.
This is a great example of too much Botox.
Well, this is what you said a year ago to Chris Wallace. I want to play you what you said.
You want the job here? Go through the humiliation ritual
of the Republican Party.
Go through the scolding ritual.
As to whether or not Joe
but the money's worth it to her. She needs more butt and lip injections.
Joe Biden's the president.
No, I didn't ask you whether he's the president.
No, I don't think that. I think there were lots of problems.
He won the election.
I think there were lots of problems with 2020. He won the election.
Pardon?
But ultimately, he won the election, but there were lots of problems with the 2020 election. 100%.
And so you're not even allowed to say that.
I'm not going to say that.
So you didn't say he won it fair at that point. Can you say, as you sit here today, did Joe Biden win the election fair and square?
He won. He's the legitimate president.
Did he win
president.
Fair and square?
Fair and square he won. It's certified.
There
it's
it
done.
Is.
But I Ronna, do think, Kristen,
you
let me just say something.
To say that, why
because
has it taken you until now?
This
to
is
be
the humiliation ritual she has to go through for millions of dollars, and she does it.
It's fair to say there were problems in 2020. And to say that does not mean he's not the legitimate
Ronna,
president.
When you
and then Joe and Mika go on to say, she will never be on our show. We will never give her our airtime. Well, I don't think you guys are in charge with that. So we'll see. See what happens here. So, okay, Ronna, you can get a job here. I'm sure she's making a nice, at least six-figure, who knows, maybe seven-figure salary. But MSNBC thought, oh, we can win over some people by bringing her in, and then they failed miserably. They only angered their audience. And then they say, well, we need to have conservative voices to balance it out, but not her. And Ronna probably thought, oh, I'll be able to go on television on MSNBC and maybe have some conservative viewpoints. And then the first day she's on the job, they put the screws to her. You say that Joe Biden won fair and square. You say it right now. You take it back. And none of them will learn any lessons from this. none of them will learn a single lesson from this. And the show will go on. And the show will go on. Maybe they will fire her, though. Who knows? Because I don't think she wasn't. She still said there were problems in the 2020 election. I don't think she. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Sure, we're hiring you to be a conservative voice, quote unquote, on MSNBC. But that doesn't mean you actually voice conservative values. That doesn't mean you actually say things we disagree with. This is MSNBC. Don't you know? Joe Scarborough is being inundated with phone calls, with complaints. It's like Joe picks up the phone, but nobody's there. It's a voice in his head. So that'll be an interesting little run, won't it? MSNBC, where Republican rejects go out to pasture. All right, we got absolute craziness here. The squatting issue is reaching new heights, and we're gonna connect this to something else that we've been warning about, but this is obviously where it's gonna go. But here's another report about the squatting issue being absolutely out of control in clip 5.
Oh, my God. The owners of these trashed homes all say squatters moved into their properties, caused mayhem, and refused to leave. An explosion of squatting cases is gripping the nation. In Atlanta alone, 1,200 homes are said to be illegally occupied. Inside Edition was there as sheriff's deputies raided this woman's house outside Atlanta and took into custody a man she says was a squatter.
He had no intention of leaving.
Once back in her home, she finds the alleged squatter's junk everywhere. In Riverside County, California, a woman fights to get inside the dream house that she and her husband had just bought. They say the previous owner refused to leave, citing COVID eviction protections. It took a 14-month legal battle before the new owners were finally allowed to claim their property. In Beverly Hills, the realtor for this mansion says squatters have moved in, changed the locks, and turned this $4.5 million property into a raging party house. And here's a strange twist on the epidemic. A nationally prominent restaurateur, Adam Fleischman, who founded the Umami Burger restaurant chain in 2009, was recently accused of squatting at this Hollywood Hills home. The owner, a 62-year-old widow, reached out to the one person she hoped could help, a self-taught expert on dealing with unwanted tenants. He calls himself the Squatter Hunter. Flash Shelton is the self-proclaimed squatter hunter. He says he's on a mission to take back properties after alleged squatters move in. Here he is confronting Fleischman.
I understand you've been squatting at this residence?
No.
The confrontation continues inside the home where the squatter hunter turns the tables on the alleged squatter.
I am taking over this property. I am leasing this property. And I'm moving my crew in and put cameras up everywhere.
Whatever you put up, no one's going to give a
Okay.
I've gotten bad publicity before.
Fleischman denies being a squatter, claiming he had a right to live there, but moved out just a week later.
And when I turn up the pressure, it's pretty easy to get him out.
Now, they do have this protection that Democrats write these laws protecting these squatters, these invaders, these criminals, really. But there's a combination factor that I think is about to go off the charts really soon, probably before the presidential election. All the illegal immigrants that are sitting here, listen to what's going on in New York City in clip 3.
This is Tompkins Park. This is the most popular migrant shelter where all of these men come once they come into New York City. There are hundreds upon thousands of men. We have met men that have wristbands, and their number is in the 19,000 before they can go in and sleep in that shelter. Mayor Adams put out a paper, and he put out an announcement saying that after these men have been in the shelter, 30 days is their limit. After 30 days, they will no longer be able to be housed. They will be put out on the streets, homeless. What we learned today by reading, we physically held the paper that says what is going to be happening to these migrant men. On that paper, it said that migrant families will not be treated the same way as these migrant men. Migrant families will be able to reapply. After 30 days, they'll be able to reapply.
All right, I got to cut this short. Shelter. And we got this other video coming up of this illegal immigrant compound that just got built. It's just a sprawling infrastructure. But okay, let's look at the combination factor of what's about to happen with some other factors as well. You have millions of illegal immigrants that are in this country and expecting free stuff, and it's about to run out. And they're about to be kicked out of hotels and shelters, and what happens? They end up on the streets, they end up homeless. Well, they're getting free stuff, they're about to end up homeless, they're about to start squatting in people's houses. So you have that powder keg. But also, what happens? This is very well known. What happens when, like, imagine if the EBT card shut down and people couldn't go to the store and get food? A very similar thing is about to happen with these illegals. And you have millions of them in major metropolitan areas, and all their freebies are about to get cut off, and they'll have nothing else except what? Violence and rioting. All right, they're stunned. They can't believe it after all the lies they've told about Donald Trump, that he's still up big in the polls. Here's CNN stunned. The latest poll numbers.
Let's break this down by race, right? Let's look at voters of color. Look at white voters. And what we see here is back in 2020.
Let me just pause this and restart this. Or just leave this on the screen for a second. Voters of color versus white voters. I'm so sick of this crap, man. Do you see how they just other us? It's all this divide and conquer garbage. It's all this identity, politics, tribalism garbage. It's all leftism. It's all liberalism. Voters of color and then othering white voters, or white voters and then othering voters of color. So I mean, just on its face, it's just like, ugh, it's just like just nauseating how they do this crap. But this is their game, and that's why they other you. So they demonize white people, and then they say, oh, the other, a non-white, the other has to vote against the whites. I mean, the whites like Republicans, so you, the other, you have to be tribal. You have to vote against those dirty whites. And so they other you, and they say, see, vote against whitey. But they're not getting the results they want now, and they're panicked. So start it over with the othering here.
So let's break this down by race, right? Let's look at voters of color,
racist.
Look at white voters. And what we see here is back in 2020.
Hold on, let's break this down by race. Racist. I really want to look at race here. All right, racist. All right, let's go to racist CNN talking about race all day. Go ahead, racist.
So let's break this down by race, right? Let's look at voters of color, look at white voters. And what we see here is back in 2020, according to the exit poll, Joe Biden won voters of color in Michigan by 62 points. Look at that advantage today. It has been sliced by a third, only 21 points. That's Joe Biden's lead over Donald Trump among voters of color. Among white voters, Donald Trump has gained a little bit of steam as well. It was 11 points in 2020. His margin over Joe Biden right now is 16 points. But this decline in support for Joe Biden among voters of color in Michigan is something we've been seeing in state after state after state, and nationally as well, where he's got some big problems. Mm-hmm. This is a historic low amount of support for a Democratic presidential candidate among voters of color, and it seems to be happening across the board, Kate.
My God, what will we do about these voters of color? They're not responding to our propaganda anymore. They're not buying into the racism. They don't hate white people. Let's talk about race, says CNN. Obsessing over race. People don't buy it anymore. It's worked for a long time. It's not working anymore. But see, this is what I'm talking about. That we started the show. Folks, they're able to get millions of black Americans in the streets to riot and protest because of George Floyd. And you could sit here and argue that, well, these are dumb people that fall for that. Well, that might be the case. But in a way, it's a survival mechanism, right? I mean, that's the propaganda is, oh, your life is at risk because of racist white people and racist police. You could be the next George Floyd. So they think, oh, well, I got to go out and I got to send a message. Well, what do you think is going to happen with these same people that have been indoctrinated into this role that it's your survival instinct mechanism to go out and riot and protest, and then they all go and vote for Donald Trump and their vote gets stolen? Like, once you release a rabid dog, you really can't get it back on the leash here. And so they've created this group that now just goes out and protests, and they can do it at the drop of a hat. I mean, I suppose the one factor is, will they get the propaganda that pushes them out into the streets, or can it become organic? And I would say, well, we're seeing proof it can become organic. Nobody's pushing people in the inner cities to show up at city council meetings and complain about the illegal immigrants. Nobody's pushing these people to do all these marches in major metropolitan areas. It's Black Americans that are sick of the illegal immigration. That's not AstroTurf. That's legitimate. Now think about what happens. You want to talk about a survival instinct? When they realize how much they've been screwed by the Democrat Party, and they think, well, I'll just vote them out, and then they somehow just stay and remain. They're not just going to sit down. So that's what I'm saying. A million people in D.C. on January 6th at a planned peaceful event is like, I don't even know if we can even properly project or rather predict what happens if they do a blatant theft from Donald Trump again. That's a million plus people in D.C. that are politically informed, wanted to show up for a peaceful protest, go throughout the proper procedures to check the election laws that were broken, and we were sullied. Yeah, the deep state got us. The Democrats got us that day. It's fine to admit it. Sometimes you get beat. They beat us. They had the plan. They had us. And they got us. They didn't have it as successful as they wanted it to be, but they had enough success. But that's just a million people informed going to D.C. trying to go through the proper legislative process. What are they going to do when the cost of living and things get so bad in these major metropolitan areas? And finally, you have this consortium, and you have groups being led, and they say, okay, well, we're not voting Democrat anymore. We're going to vote Republican. We're going to vote Donald Trump. And everybody's talking about it. And then somehow the Democrat still wins. Do you really think they're just going to sit there and take it? So, because of these poll numbers and the continued rise in popularity of Donald Trump, the Biden administration says they're building an election superstructure to steal the election from Donald Trump in 2024. And part of that is all the legal and the lawfare that's going on. Now there is some other news in this. I'm going to go to the press conference now. Trump can post smaller $175 million bond in civil fraud case because it was supposed to be the $500 million today. And then in New York, they said, oh, okay, well, we'll make it $175. So in other words, they were like, all right, yeah, we're the total criminals here. $500 million was outrageous and completely illegal. So let's just, all right, how about $175? Like, yeah, you know, like we were going to, you know, I don't want to be graphic here, but, you know, we were just going to rape you a little bit. But, you know, we'll just do a little rape. We were going to rape you. I mean, we were going to rape you big. I mean, you know, we were really going to rape you big. But we'll just rape you a little bit. Oh, well, yeah, okay. Yeah, we probably went too far with that $500 million, didn't we? Yeah, we were probably. Yeah, that was completely illegal. So we'll just do about $175. It's still completely illegal. It's still completely illegitimate. But, you know, I mean, hey, we only raped you for 5 minutes. I mean, we were going to rape you for 5 hours. So, I mean, you know, come on. We raped you for 5 minutes. Yeah. Could have been 5 hours, but I guess that would have been overkill. And they're claiming, oh, now remember, there was all that fake news. Oh, Trump is such a bad businessman. Trump is such an idiot. He buys the Washington former post office in D.C. By the way, it was the coolest place to be when Trump was president, was Trump International, D.C. Coolest place. It was awesome. Everybody hung out there. And now D.C. is dead. It's a communist ghost town. The soul sucked out of it by the Democrats. So they say, oh, Trump's such an idiot. He bought a property. He got screwed on that property. He took a hit. He had to sell it. What an idiot. Stupid Trump. Oh, but then they come out and they have the actual numbers. It turns out Trump actually made a profit. He made a $126 million profit. And Cernovich has the records here. Trump made $126 million profit on Trump International DC. And the judge says, well, because all your business activities are illegitimate, we're actually going to take that money, and then all business that you did after that is also illegitimate. We're going to take all that money too. So now it's just any dollar Trump's make, Trump could go sell a glass of lemonade on the street corner for a nickel, and they'd say that's an illegitimate profit because everything you've done is illegitimate. Now you lied about your property. But it's, of course, they lied about the property. So their logic is now any business Trump has done since whatever the date is, pick X date in the past, any business Trump has done since that date, any profit he has made, they now claim is illegitimate and they can take it, including $126 million he made in Trump International D.C., which they used to lie and said he lost money. Trump is such a stupid investor. He takes a major hit on Trump International D.C. It turns out he made $126 million. But now they're saying, oh, any money you've made after lying about the cost or lying about the value of Mar-a-Lago, now all of that money is illegitimate. We're taking it all. Like somehow it's just like anything that any profits that flow from that business deal, they now consider illegitimate. I mean, these people are complete thieves. It is a gang of thieves. So here's Trump outside the courtroom holding a brief press conference today in clip 11.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be with you at 40 Wall Street. And we appreciate you have a lot of press outside, and I think we're going to start before a lot of them come in, which frankly always makes me happy. So a lot of things happened today. This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference. They are doing things that have never been done in this country before. We've never had anything like it, certainly not at this level, but we've really had nothing like it that I've been able to find. It does happen a lot in third world countries, banana republics. If you look at what we just left, you have a case which they're dying to get this thing started. The judge cannot go faster. He wants to get it started so badly. And there's tremendous corruption. You have Pomerantz, Mark Pomerantz. He was Hillary Clinton's lawyer, or Democrat National Committee's lawyer. He worked in Paul Weiss. He walked in and he took over the district attorney's office. Nobody's ever seen anything like that, to prosecute Trump. And then they wouldn't do what he wanted to do, and he goes out and he writes a book long before any decisions were made. He writes a book about it. And the book gets published, and everybody's reading his book. And the judge said there's nothing wrong with that. And if you look at Bragg had a fit over that. Bragg said, this trial is now dead. We can't do the trial. Well, that was one of the problems, and the judge should have allowed that to happen. And you had other instances like Colangelo. Colangelo is a radical left from the DOJ who was put into the state working with Letitia James and then was put into the district attorney's office to run the trial against Trump. And that was done by Biden and his thugs also, because they can't win an election because of the borders, because of energy prices, because of inflation, because of Afghanistan, the worst and most embarrassing day in the history of our country. He can't win because of Russia, because of all the problems, because of Ukraine being attacked by Russia. And he can't win because of the October 7th attack of Israel, which he should have never allowed to happen, would have never happened if I were president. Ukraine would have never been attacked if I was president. And you wouldn't have inflation if I was president. We didn't have inflation. So all of these things, so what they do is they do election interference, which is court cases, and let's try and tie him up and let's take as much of his money as possible. I respect the appellate division for substantially reducing that ridiculous amount of money that was put on by a corrupt judge named Ngoron. He ought to be looked at. Seriously looked at, especially what he did with valuations. He's a fraudulent valuator where he values Mar-a-Lago at $18 million and people say it's worth 50 to 100 times that much, the biggest experts in the business. So he ought to be looked at, and James ought to be looked at, because she tried to get him. She's like the puppet master of the judge. And, you know, our state, this state, is losing tremendous prestige. It's losing its companies. It's losing its people. They're fleeing, and violent crime is flourishing. And we can't have that. We can't have that. No city should have that. And it's happening in other cities, but not with the lawfare. The lawfare that they're doing is incredible. So they could have done this in the case of the trial that we just left, one of the many that are going. Every single one of them is run by Biden and his thugs. It's the only way they think they can get elected. And I think so far it's backfiring, because the people of this country understand it. It's backfiring. But they're being run, and they're running all of these different cases. So ridiculous, the cases. Every one of them is ridiculous. You take a look at any one of them, and you say any one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. This is all weaponization of DOJ and FBI. They raided my house in violation of a thing called the Fourth Amendment. Not allowed to do that. They raided my house in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. No notice, no nothing. They raided it. I can't believe it. Nobody can believe it. And we'll see how that all works out in the end. But it's illegal what they're doing. It's criminal what they're doing. And it's never been done before in this country. You can't have an election in the middle of a political season. We just had Super Tuesday, and we had a Tuesday after a Tuesday already. And we had Louisiana the other day, a couple of days ago, and we won in a record number, the highest number ever recorded. But we're in the middle of an election right now, and we're fighting crooked Joe Biden, who's the worst president in the history of our country, by far, who's let this country go to hell. The borders, millions and millions of people coming in from prisons, from mental institutions. They're terrorists. Many people coming in from prisons and mental institutions. Think of it. And terrorists are coming into our country. And this guy's just letting them come in by the millions. I think we have 15 million people already. People don't say that. I say it. And I'll bet I'm right, too. So we're going through this weaponization of our government to try and knock out somebody's political opponent. And so far, based on the polls, it's not working at all. The people understand it. We have a man who just ruled they'd like the trial to start in 21 days or something. And I don't know how you can have a trial that's going on right in the middle of an election. Not fair. Not fair. It's not fair at all. He knows that, too. He's a Democrat judge. He wants to do that because they're all trying to damage Trump as much as possible. It's having the reverse effect, but maybe someday it won't. I don't know. But it's having the reverse effect. It's a terrible, terrible precedent, a terrible thing to do. They could have started this when I left office. You could have gone back 3 years, more than that. When I left office, all of these things could have been started, so we wouldn't be quibbling over starting this week or that week or 2 days or 3 days. It wouldn't have mattered. This thing would have been over 2 years ago. They could have started. They should have never started, because there's no case. If you read Andy McCarthy's piece, if you read Jonathan Turley's piece, if you read legal scholars all over the world, they say this DA case is a hoax, and it's something that shouldn't have. It's not even a crime. They say there's no crime, and there is no crime. So I just say it's a sad day for this country when you have something like this. And remember the words, should have been started 3 years ago if they were going to start it at all. And then you wouldn't be quibbling over what week it's going to end. Days. They're quibbling over days and hours. They wouldn't be quibbling at all. They never started it. And you know why they didn't start it? Because they didn't know I'd be running. And they didn't know how well I'd do. And if I were not running, or if I were doing poorly like everyone else has done, because they're all gone, they're all knocked out except for crooked Joe Biden. If I were doing poorly, this wouldn't be happening. None of these trials would have been happening. If I wasn't running, they wouldn't be happening. So it's a sad day in our country in many respects. But the good day is that the appellate division was fair. It's a lot of money still, but the judge is corrupt, in my opinion. He's the most overturned judge. He's been overturned 5 times in this case alone. He ruled against me before he even knew anything about the case. He ruled against me. The whole case was all about damages, and there were no damages. And perhaps you'll get him to tell you about what took place in terms of a settlement negotiation, because those weren't the numbers he was discussing. Those weren't the numbers. It's a disgrace what's happening in our country. And we have to get our country back, and we're going to get our country back. That's what's going to happen. November 5th, I believe, will be the most important day in the history of our country. We'll get these people out of there, and we'll seal up the borders, and we'll, as I say, drill, baby, drill. We'll be drilling. We'll get energy costs down. We'll get rid of the ridiculous electric car mandate, so nobody's ever heard of anything so foolish and so stupid. And we'll bring crime back to law and order. We're going to get those words, law and order, back, because our cities are a disaster. Greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and we will abide by that.
He's right, the cities are a disaster.
Cash or bond very quickly. Securities, cash or bond.
It's insane.
Whatever it is, we'll put it up very quickly, and we'll win the case. Todd, maybe I'll have Todd say a couple of words.
So, as we said in court today, we very much.
So, I'll tell you what, I'll go to this now. Listen to what's going on in Baltimore here in clip two.
In the Southern District on Tuesday, there was a plea for officers to work overtime. Minutes later, it went citywide.
Overtime available on today's date, Charlie Schiff, Southern District. Anyone interested?
Baltimore's Southern Police District is the city's largest district, 61,000 residents. And on Tuesday afternoon, sources tell us at one point there were three police officers on patrol. Just seconds after the plea for officers hit the airwaves, so did pleas for help.
If anyone in Sector 2 can come clear, we have a physical child abuse at Morrill Park, and there's a 10-year-old at the location with bruises all over his body. Okay, we also have a common assault. We have a missing person, 2640 Huron Street.
10 minutes after that child abuse call was transmitted, it appears there were still no officers en route.
We still have a physical child abuse.
Yes, sir.
Can be advised,
we are now holding
10 calls.
No priority 1, 1. We still have the physical child abuse and the common assault.
And it's heartbreaking. Imagine if you are a crime victim.
Betsy Smith with the National Police Association calls the city's police staffing dangerously low.
You are endangering the lives of the police officers that are on duty. And what that further does is endanger the lives of the citizens.
There's 522 vacancies.
At a city budget hearing last year, the top brass admitted it struggled with recruitment and is hoping to hire civilians to fill in the gaps.
We're looking at upwards to 120 to 140 positions that we're trying to create in this request to be able to sustain going forward.
The reason that 9 out of every 10 police departments in this country is short-staffed is because we have been dealing with, here in the United States, this 3.5, almost 4-year vilification and demonization of the American law.
It's much longer than that. It really happened with Obama. You know, we tend to trace a lot of the things that went south in this country to 9/11. The more I look into it and study it and refresh my mind on it, the more I realize it was actually Barack Obama. It was actually 2008 with Barack Obama when things really went bad. So this is footage. This news is breaking. In fact, let me reach across my desk here.
Okay. All right.
This news was all breaking. Strange video of Diddy. I don't know if that was Miami or L.A. Diddy's L.A. home raided by Homeland Security. Diddy's homes in Los Angeles, New York, and Miami raided by federal agents. And there's the video of this raid and then a bunch of people being pulled out of the home. Part of the sex trafficking probe. As far as who these people are, nobody knows yet. Is it just keep the party going? Keep it loose? Keep it cool? Keep it hip? Are they squatters? I don't know. The video is pretty crazy. But I'm going to say this. A lot of talk. A lot of hype. About this is it, this is the exposure, this is the moment. No. Sorry. No, I don't believe that's what's happening here. This is what I would call a cover-up, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I would call a cover-up, just like they did with Epstein. Oh, go raid him and then take all the evidence and then, boop, nothing happens. How convenient. How convenient. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. By the way, look at this. A bit of an awkward moment. Does Dwayne Wade's son, who is pretending to be a girl, all promoted by Dwayne and his wife. And then all of a sudden they get all the big TV deals and all the big commercial deals. I'm sure that's just a coincidence that they turn their, I believe, firstborn son into a girl. And then Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade get these huge million-dollar contracts for TV deals and commercial deals. Sure, that's just a coincidence. And so what does Dwayne Wade's son know about asking Michelle Obama on advice for transgender teens in clip six?
Well, what's on your mind? What do you want to know? What do you want to talk about?
Yes, I actually do want to talk to you about, I wanted to ask you one question about your book, which, by the way, I have read and I love it. Divine. And yes, so I wanted to ask you, what advice do you have for teens who want to be themselves and thrive like you have and currently are?
Well, yeah, like you have and currently are, you know? I am just so proud of you, you know, being just an amazing role model and embracing your truth, right? You're already doing this, so maybe this is for some other young people that are listening. It does take time to know what you're...
So there's a bunch of other trans news here. I got a guest from Canada joining me on Wednesday who went to one of these drag queen story times for kid events. And then I've got some other undercover footage. I'm holding off until Wednesday to get into all that. I mean, folks, there's video. I've been sent the video. I'm not going to air it for obvious reasons. There's video of drag queen sexy time for kids. And the drag queen performer has a female thong on, and needless to say, the old package falls out in the middle of the performance for children. And so my guest on Wednesday is going to be talking about that and some other stuff. But I mean, I am at a loss. I am just at a loss with that. It's cringe on so many different levels that it just like collapses. It just collapses your entire train of thought. It's like Michelle Obama up there, and then it's Dwayne Wade's son just fully indoctrinated into the trans agenda. Honestly, it makes me nauseous. I'm a little nauseous right now. So I might need to buy myself some time here. This is just crazy. Oh, yeah. Oh, I want to avoid being nauseous, so I guess I shouldn't go to clip nine. California man arrested for allegedly eating a severed leg. Some guy gets hit by it. The train dies. This guy goes out and grabs his severed leg and eats it. I'm legitimately nauseous right now. So, boy, oh, boy. Severed leg for lunch. Severed leg for lunch. Let's try to, Let's just go ahead and roll clip one here. First ever look inside hidden illegal alien compound. Muckraker News has done it again. And this is a massive facility in New York. I would say this is Floyd Bennett Field, Brooklyn, New York. You know, land out there is pretty expensive. Mass capacity, 2,000, they say. And Muckraker goes inside. I don't know. Is there any audio for this? Oh, that's a nice little girl on a brand new bike. There's a nice little kid on a scooter. All having a great time.
Hey, ¿qué país tú? Venezuela, todos Venezuela. Oh, okay. ¿Y cuántos meses aquí?
No, un solo mes.
¿Y de familia tú? ¿Familia?
Ella y el bebé.
Living there for a month. Okay. They got their whole family there. Free stuff.
Presidente Biden. Por apoyar migrantes aquí.
They love Biden. Biden's been very good for illegal immigrants, helping us a lot.
So, okay. ¿Qué durante el día qué pasa aquí por tú?
Because they got all new toys, all new cosmetic stuff.
No trabajo, no nada.
They don't have to work. They just live for free, and they get everything for free. They have medical insurance. They don't even have asylum, but they get everything for free. Now look, and he's talking about how they get everything for free. They haven't even qualified for asylum. They're just here living, and they just do nothing all day, and they get everything taken care of. It's all in the captions here. They're just speaking Spanish. But, I mean, look, I'm not against these people. I'm sure this family is nice enough, and they just want a better life than in Venezuela. But, you know, it'd be one thing if every American had $1 million and didn't know what to do with it. Americans, generally speaking, are not financially comfortable. And they don't live in comfort.
It's easy to lose motivation.
Yeah. Easy to lose motivation.
Here's one of the workers at the compound.
When you're, like, I mean, my morale's not low doing this. This is just pretty simple, doing my own thing. But before, as part of the squad, like cleaning the tents and cleaning the inside of the tents and cleaning the rooms and stuff, these people, they'll just, you can sweep and mop the entire tent. 10 minutes later, it'd be like you were never there. You know, it'd be crumbs, crackers, apples. Like, I don't know why they never throw away their apples. They're just, and it's
because they come from third world countries where the street is the trash can.
Yeah. The
yeah.
So well, yeah, they have slaves that clean up after them. So what would you expect?
Enough to get the job done, but it's hard to enjoy it just because, you know, it's like two steps forward and then two steps back.
Yeah, 100%.
This is just crazy, man.
That have come out and been like, yeah, they bring in weapons. There's been rapes and shit. Have you guys heard about any of that shit happening
here? That's at Randall's.
Randall's.
They've had three stabbings.
Somebody was stabbed to death. One migrant was stabbed to death. Yeah.
So again, if you wanted to say, hey, let's take in all these people, that's good, guys. If you wanted to say, hey, let's take in all these people, you know, we all got millions of dollars. We're all living high on the hog. Americans aren't struggling. We can afford this. We can't. We can't afford this. So I'm sorry Venezuela sucks. I'm sorry that your home country sucks, that you want to escape and come here and get stuff for free. But it's not my job. And the average American is very uncomfortable and working, you know, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week just to pay the bills. And these people come here and just lay around and relax all day and have maids and babysitters and free food. I mean, it's just absurd. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know, winter is about over in most places. You're still getting snow if you're in Minnesota. I'm deeply sorry for you. But we're heading towards summer here quickly in Texas, but that doesn't mean vitamin D is not important. And vitamin D is actually extremely important, and it has so many important benefits. That's why we have Winter Sun Plus at InfoWarsStore.com. It's still 25% off while supplies last. We also have the vitamin D3 gummies, great for kids every day before they go to school. Just put a couple of vitamin D3 gummies out on the counter for them. They'll think you're the coolest parent on earth. My mommy and daddy let me eat gummies before school. Aren't they the best? Well, little do they know, you're just making sure they get their vitamin D. So many benefits, folks. So many benefits for vitamin D. It's really ridiculous. Promotes calcium absorption, supports the body's natural immune system, and just getting the vitamin D with all the different health benefits. And this is the Puriform Vitamin D3. And you can't go wrong because you also support InfoWars when you shop at InfoWarsStore.com. So even though winter is just about behind us, I guess it is officially spring even. Even though winter is behind us, that doesn't mean vitamin D is not still important. Still very important. Still so many great health benefits. So Winter Sun Plus liquid tincture under the tongue for easy absorption. Or for the kiddos, or you might like them too, the vitamin D3 gummies. But I'm telling you, those are just great. Great for the kids. And they'll think you're the coolest parent on earth. All right. The Biden White House has yet to say anything about the terror attack in Moscow. And the fact they haven't said anything actually says a lot. Now, we have heard from Putin here. During his televised address, he said that the Krakow City Hall attack was part of a series of attacks on Russia since 2014 by the neo-Nazi Kiev regime, We need to answer the question of why the terrorists tried to get Ukraine after committing crime in a Krakow City Hall. Who was waiting for them there? Now, actually, I guess I'm to say they haven't said anything would be a little inaccurate. They have responded saying there is no. They basically came out before any evidence. I mean, I kind of like the way the Russians handled this. They captured the four shooters and basically tortured them publicly and made them make a public confession and just did the whole thing publicly. Not like when the U.S. government, when the FBI was going after the Tsarnaev brothers, what did they do? Well, they killed one of them and then they ripped the other one's throat out so he couldn't talk. Remember that? So they're not trying to engage in any cover up or they want everybody to see what's going on. They want everybody to see the terrorists. They want them to be tortured and the whole thing to be transparent. But before anything even happened, the White House did come out and say, there's no proof this is tied to Ukraine, and it's definitely not tied to Ukraine at all. There's no way it is. It definitely isn't. Don't even ask, and we have nothing to do with it either. And that's really the only statement that they made. But Putin is asking the question, who paid them? Who motivated them? This is in Russian. I'm going to read the captions here. I think we have the clip on the... okay, yeah, go ahead and roll. This is Vladimir Putin. I'll read the captions. Using various channels, the USA is trying to convince its satellites and other countries that according to their intelligence, there's no Kiev traces in the Moscow terror attack. That the bloody attack was carried out by Islam followers, members of ISIS, an organization banned in Russia. We know by whose hands this crime against Russia and its people was committed. We want to know who ordered it. Yeah, and who ordered the attack on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline might be the same people. So it's the same Biden White House that comes out and says, hey, someone's going to blow up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, probably going to be us. And then it blows up and they say, wasn't us, no evidence, we didn't do it. Same Biden White House says, there's going to be a terror attack in Moscow, probably at a concert venue, and then it happens. Wasn't us, we have nothing to do with it. It's like if I go up to you and I say, hey, I'm going to put scorpions in your bed. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but I'm going to put scorpions in your bed. And then you wake up a couple weeks later, there's scorpions in your bed. You say, hey, I think you put scorpions in my bed. I didn't do it. You have no evidence. Wasn't me. But see, they have us in this little game. The Biden White House has us in this little game of cat and mouse. It's like, hey, you don't want to be a Putin apologist. You're not a traitor. You're not pro-Putin. Well, no. I'm just pro-truth. But see, it's this other game they do. It's like, oh, if you say anything negative about Israel, you're an anti-Semite. Well, hold on a second. I say things negative about the U.S. government all the time. I criticize the Biden administration all the time. Am I anti-American? Of course not. I'm dedicated to the truth. This doesn't mean I support Vladimir Putin. Doesn't mean I trust Vladimir Putin. I look at the same things he sees and reach my own conclusions. Vladimir Putin could come out tomorrow and say, gray aliens are responsible for this attack. Well, I disagree. But no, Vladimir Putin comes out and says, yeah, you know, probably the same people that pulled the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and the same people that are running the Kiev regime and NATO are probably the same people that pulled this off. But see, forget about what you think. Forget about whether you think Putin is completely lying or being honest. It doesn't matter. Listen to what he says. When he talks about when they find out who's responsible for this, there's going to be blood to pay. Like, that's what is so dangerous about this Biden administration. So, you understand, Putin is blaming it on the Pentagon. Putin is blaming it on the Biden administration. That's what he just said. Or that's what he thinks. That's where he's leaning. He's looking for the evidence to prove it. This is truly a dangerous time. But see, you notice the Biden regime comes out and says, terror attacks imminent in Moscow. You better protect yourself if you're an American there. Don't go to any concert halls. And then there's a terror attack at a concert hall and they say, we had nothing to do with it. Well, so what are they going to tell you next? Are they going to warn you about dangers in your own country that they know are imminent? Are they going to have intelligence on potential attacks in our homeland domestically? And are they going to sit on that evidence and not tell you so that the event happens and then they can escalate the war even more? We are dealing with psychotic, I mean, truly psychotic people who run this country right now. Truly psychotic. And they're so removed from reality with their lust for power and wealth. When I say they literally could not care if you die or not, they literally could not care if you die or not. Just look at the response to Lake and Riley. These are psychotics. They do not care. Joe Biden and his accolades in D.C. couldn't give a shit if America got nuked. They would actually love it because then they'd get to launch a larger war and pose as war heroes or wartime leaders. And they're nothing but fops and psychotics. And then they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. With the Israel situation, UN Security Council demands Gaza ceasefire during Ramadan. UNSC vote on Gaza ceasefire passes. The U.S. abstains. So the U.S. didn't vote. They said, we're not going to vote on a ceasefire. So in other words, they want the firing to keep happening. So the Biden administration says, ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. And then, okay, here's your opportunity to vote for a ceasefire. Yeah, we're not going to vote. Oh, okay. Well, that pissed off Israel. The defense chief and Netanyahu were set to visit. Netanyahu cancels Israeli delegation trip to United States after UN Security Council ceasefire resolution tied to Ramadan passes with Biden admin abstention. Netanyahu hits back at war cabinet minister who criticized cancellation of U.S. visit. So Netanyahu's got his own problems. Now, he's got his own radicalized members of his cabinet. He's got his own bloodlusters, and he's got his own agenda. Israel is torn over this. Much of the Israeli military leadership is torn over this. Even the Biden administration is torn over this. But it's not going to matter because they're going to move all the Palestinians into Rafah and then they're going to bomb them. And then they're going to take all the land and they're going to build a new Tel Aviv on the beach. And right now, nobody's stopping them. And the Biden administration pretends like they want to stop it, but then they don't. All right, the president of Mexico was also on 60 Minutes. Basically letting America know that Joe Biden is his bitch. And so here's what he said on 60 Minutes this weekend.
With the ear of the White House, President Lopez Obrador proposed his fix.
Hold on a second. Let's restart this. Look at this stiff-legged walking corpse, Joe Biden. And by the way, now he has like these really extra special shoes for people that can't walk well because they have Parkinson's, and that's what Joe Biden wears around now. So here's the stiff-legged Joe. He's healthier than ever. He rides a bike. So here's the Tin Man without oil. Joe Biden can't even move his knees. I mean, he literally walks like Frank. I mean, this is just like, it's just such an embarrassment. And so here's 60 Minutes featuring the president of Mexico letting America know that Joe Biden is his bitch. I'll shut up.
With the ear of the White House, President Lopez Obrador proposed his fix that the United States commit $20 billion a year to poor countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, lift sanctions on Venezuela, end the Cuban embargo, and legalize millions of law-abiding Mexicans living in the U.S.
Oh, he'd like that.
If they don't do the things that you've said need to be done, then what?
The flow of migrants will continue.
Oh!
Your critics have said what you're doing or what you're asking for to help secure the border is diplomatic blackmail. What do you say?
I'm speaking frankly. We have to say things as they are. And I always say what I feel.
He doesn't deny it.
I always say what I think.
If they don't do those things, will you continue to help to secure the border?
Yes, because our relationship is very important. It is fundamental.
Look, I appreciate honesty. If I disagree with somebody, but they're honest in their stance, then I respect that. So he's honest. He's like, we're using the illegal immigration invasion. We're using the economic bomb of illegal immigration as diplomatic blackmail. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing, actually. Yeah, pretty much. But it could all be stopped tomorrow. That's the crazy thing about it. Biden could stop it all tomorrow. So it's really just bad policy. And he says, okay, Joe Biden is my bitch. Then I'm gonna backhand politically, and I'm gonna demand Joe Biden give $20 billion a year to Central American nations. Folks, we already do that. Go look at the foreign aid. Go look at the humanitarian aid that the United States already gives to Central American countries. It's already in the billions. How's that working out? They're all coming here. So they're double dipping. So where do you think all the money goes? So they get hundreds of billions of dollars in humanitarian aid, and then they send the dregs of society across the southern border, and Mexico says, all right, if you want it to stop us, if you want us to stop it, send us more money. Send us more money. And what do you think Biden's going to do? He's probably going to say, oh, okay, which knee do you want me to get on? Or do you want me to get on both? That's a little hard for me. My knees are a little stiff. And they bring it up on 60 Minutes, and they say, oh, well, that sounds like diplomatic blackmail. And the president says, yeah, you're damn right it is. I'm the president of Mexico. Unlike Joe Biden, I actually care about my country. Unlike Joe Biden, I'm actually a straight shooter. Unlike Joe Biden, I actually want to lead the Mexican people and be a good president. So you guys got a Biden problem. Good luck with that. Yes, I am diplomatically blackmailing your country with the illegal immigrant invasion. So, hey, yeah, I'm going to extort Joe Biden. Why wouldn't I? So if you want the illegal immigration to stop, you have to give Latin American countries $20 billion a year, and you have to relieve the sanctions on Venezuela. So the president of Mexico jerks the leash on Joe Biden and says, if you want us to stop this, give us this money. But you know what? You want to know what else goes on here, folks? You want to know what really the truth is? Joe Biden could give $200 billion to the Latin American countries. It wouldn't stop the illegal immigrants for a day. Not for one single day. This administration is an embarrassment. We're getting outsmarted and outmaneuvered politically by every other country on earth. But look at Joe Biden. He can't even walk. We are now joined by Tommy Sotomayor, and he has been massively popular with his commentary on YouTube and now Rumble and X and everything in between. It's great to be joined by Tommy once again. And you know, I told him, I got a lot of things I want to talk to him about. I told him I wanted to get his opinion on this Candace Owens thing and the fallout with the Daily Wire. Now, why would I want to get Tommy's opinion on that? Well, because you could credit that Tommy actually called this years ago before Candace Owens even joined the Daily Wire, I would say, is that he predicted something like this would happen years ago before Candace Owens even became a team member of the Daily Wire. So Tommy joins me now. What is your response to the fallout here? You know, what do you think was behind this? Where does Candace go next? Tommy Sotomayor.
Well, the first thing I thought was I had seen it happen years before. I knew what was going to happen. Everybody knew what they hired Candace Owens to do. She was supposed to be a mirror for the black community. She was supposed to tell blacks what it was that they were supposed to do and how to get their house in order. Now, we'd assume if she was a real journalist, she'd be able to tell anyone what to do to get their house in order. But there was one group that she wasn't able to tell what to get their house in order. She wasn't able to question, even after that group called her the N-word to her face. And that was interesting because even after it happened, you had pundits like Tariq Nasheed who said, there goes white supremacy, taking down Candace Owens again. But it wasn't white supremacy because white supremacy, as they called them, stood behind Candace Owens, said that she should not have been fired. It was one group who stood up and everybody knew who they were. They said, hey, look, you're not going to talk about our people. You're not going to make us look bad. But that's strange that she was able to make her own people look bad while she was married to a non-black person. What did Voltaire say? Who has power over you is who you can't talk about. And we see who she cannot talk about right now. And I want to correct something. You put up the old Twitter that I have, because it's there, but it won't let me get to it. My Twitter is just, it's Mr. Sotomayor. But the sad part about all of this is that Black people have turned their backs on this woman simply because what she said was true about the Black community. You may not like what a lot of people say, but the left swears up and down that they're for free speech, except when it's free speech that they don't like. So is it really free at that point? And that's what really bothered me about the whole Candace Owens situation. Because when you see these people who say that they're on your side and they get to hide amongst the white people, the same Jewish people that say that they're cool with Blacks will allow you to say the N-word every day on your songs and movies and TV shows, will sit up there and take something like World Star Hip Hop, which promotes degeneracy, and put it in your face. But how dare you question anything that goes on amongst them?
Well, and what was so strange to me about this, because I'm just looking at this from a neutral, you know, observer, and I'm saying, whether it's Candace Owens or anybody, I can be critical of any group I want. I can be critical of Black America. I can be critical of white America. I can be critical of the Catholic Church. I can be critical of Muslims. But if you're dare critical of a rabbi or you're dare critical of Israel, all of a sudden you're not allowed to do that. I mean, that's just a neutral, observable fact that cannot be denied. And it feels like Candace is now the canary in the coal mine. I mean, she's not the first to go through this. Again, like I said, you've been doing commentary on this. There are videos dating back 5 years where you've talked about this.
Yeah, I had an entire YouTube channel that had over 400,000 subscribers. That was one of my first ones that was taken down. That one was taken down because I did a video about rabbis who were given circumcisions orally with their mouths, who then ended up giving some of the babies herpes, STDs from their mouth. And people thought that that was interesting and they didn't know it was real. And then they didn't know I was real because I was gone the next day. And it's one of those things that you and I always tell people when they ask me, is that real? I'll tell them, just like Tel Aviv, it's real. And if you and if you go back and you just think about that and several things that's happened, I'm very confused at why people are afraid to finally just stand up and say, hold on. We're all getting taken away for speaking about one group. But if I got on in my YouTube channel right now, or if I had started my YouTube channel, and I was calling white people devils. If I was saying they were aliens, I talk about how y'all all eat mail and got flat butts and all of you own slaves and you owe us money. I would never be taken down, Owen. I could call you as many devils right now.
No,
as I want.
I would argue you'd be promoted.
Oh, yes. I would definitely be that. You remember what happened with Don Lemon, which is why he's smart. Don Lemon realized at a certain point, I'm just not going to touch certain things. And that one thing that he wasn't going to touch was, well, let me tell Black people to not do degenerate things. Let me not promote Sexy Red. When he said, if you clean up your neighborhoods, this is when he sounded like he had some sense. You clean up your neighborhoods and pull up your pants and speak English the correct way. You see what happened to that? That Don Lemon disappeared. Now we have a Don Lemon that's going after, he's going after Elon Musk now, even though Elon was going to give him a job. Because guess who he's trying to ingratiate himself to? Because even though this man was trying to give him a job, he wanted to hold him to task on what? Anti-Semitism. Not the porn that's on X. That's fine. Just think about that, Owen. You as a father,
I actually do think about that, and I think to myself, why would Elon Musk want porn on X? And I think he just makes pragmatic decisions, and so he's just like, well, I just want this to be the everything app, and so porn's a big part of the internet, so I just want it to be on here. I'm not saying Elon Musk consumes it or likes it himself. He's just thinking, well, this is a popular thing on the internet, so I want it on my platform. I can't see any other reason why he would allow it to continue to proliferate on X, because it's everywhere now. These bots put their things everywhere. It's just insane.
Mm-hmm. And see, and that's proof, like you said, he's trying to be at least fair. If he's saying, I can allow this, I can allow this. But you never hear the left say, this is hurting our kids. This is promoting degeneracy. Nope. They will talk about me. I've been called all kinds of things. White people pay you and the white people. I'm like, well, then why haven't the white people allowed me to be on their public network, on their networks? Why haven't the white people saved me from getting kicked off of YouTube? Why haven't the white people saved me from getting kicked off of Instagram? Apparently what it is if you speak the truth and then there's truth and then there's truth. And that truth is what Candace spoke. Because again, I keep pointing out, a black woman married to a white man talking crap about black folks was promoted. They brought her on for her controversial takes, except this controversial take. And Ben Shapiro, I have been trying to talk to Ben for years. I ended up getting a chance to talk to, why did I forget his name? It was a big interview that I did with him. And everybody was coming to me saying, you didn't know he was gay? And I was like, I didn't know he was
Dave
gay.
Dave Rubin?
Yeah, Ray Rubin. Hey, we had a huge interview together.
Well, yeah, he and his husband adopted two kids, I think.
Yeah, and they were like, yeah, did you know he was gay? And I was like, nah, I just thought he was white. I used to make that joke. I was like, I can't tell that white men are gay. Never got kicked down. Never got told that's wrong. Had to laugh at it. Everybody thought it was funny and cute. But then when you turn around and you say, well, wait a minute. Had he brought me on there and asked me any of my opinions about Jews, what would have happened? Would that interview have been as big? Would he have put it out? The same thing happened with DJ Vlad. He had a 3-hour interview with him that he didn't put out. You know why he didn't put it out? Because I brought up that problem. He then brought up some issue that he said I had with a guy he let in the studio to try and fight me. But 30 minutes of that interview I spoke with him was about how the people in hip hop who run hip hop and push the message aren't the people who you see on screen, aren't the people's voices who you hear, and why don't we talk about them? Well, at that point, I did not know DJ Vlad was a Russian Jew, and he's hated me ever since, and every year, he puts out some hit piece, he brings someone on his show that is willing to talk about me, who I've never met, and I didn't know I was big enough to talk crap about.
So well, by the way, We'll continue down that path because there was some news on the Diddy thing, and I'd like to get your opinion on that. Because it looks like what we kind of knew all along was that if you want to make it in the rap game, you got to get down on your knees and put something in your mouth, if you will.
Yeah.
And so it looks like that's all coming out. But to go back to something you said, now again, this is the important aspect to keep things on a level playing field here. Like you talk about, Candace Owens can get hired at the Daily Wire for being critical of the black community. People can get hired in media for being critical of the white community, the Christian community, the Muslim community. Very common stuff. But if you talk about Israel or you talk about the Jewish community, all of a sudden you get shut down. So you say, well, why do people have this fear? Well, I think the answer is obvious. I mean, I think you know the answer. The fear is that they're going to lose their paycheck. The fear is that they're going to lose their platform. And isn't that the greatest irony of all of it? So it's like you could sit here and you could say, hey, there's too much white influence in America. Well, it's a majority white country. It's founded by white people. Well, there's too much white influence, so we need to stop the white influence. Well, okay. Well, but if you say there's too much Jewish influence, now you lose everything. You're not allowed to say that. And so that's where I think the fear kicks in. You don't want to be labeled by one of these hate groups. You don't want to lose your paycheck and you don't want to lose your platform. Not everybody's a man of conviction like you.
Yeah. And it is difficult to live like that. Like the bakers who out in, I think, California, who decided they didn't want to make the cake for the gay couple. And then they were the entire world comes down on them. Instead of you can just go somewhere else. You look at me, what I say, people could just ignore it. Like they apparently ignore the porn that they see, or they ignore the mothers who are putting up videos, as I put out today, beating their daughters to a pulp. That get ignored. But I said something to someone yesterday. They got mad when they tried to come on my my Twitter X spot that I had. I did a live show. They got mad. And within 24 hours, my whole life, my mother, my father, my daughter's school was put on the internet. And they told me, if you don't come on my show, we're going to put out more information. I was thinking, well, that's crazy. How do they have information about me, but they don't have information about this mother who beat her daughter and then put the video up? We have this fear, and it's a real fear, because what happens when you speak against Israel, you can have my grandmother used to call, you can die a live death. You'll still be living, they will destroy everything around you to the point where you will wish you were dead. There's a video, and I'll send it to you, Owen, of a big rapper by the name of Meek Mill, and a man by the name of Michael Rubin had him jumping around on the tennis court like a bunny for his child and recorded it. Now, this rapper who's thugged out, talking about killing, shooting, and everything, is in tennis shorts and shirts with his arms like this, bouncing around for the entertainment of this man's child, Jewish billionaire, Michael Rubin. Michael Rubin. Now, you let that sink in and see how that would work. Yeah, you go. See it? How embarrassing is this? This is a grown man with children. And what was this humiliation ritual for? And yet we can't call it out. But if I wanted to say a white man did it, look at how white supremacy is getting our black strong men to do this, I would get promoted. They'd bring me on CNN and say yes. And it would be a white person sitting there, Owen. That's the part that I don't like. The amount of woke white people is disgusting to me. You want to talk about an Uncle Tom? We need to talk about a Uncle Tyrone or Uncle Jerome or Uncle Quintavious, because that's what a lot of these white liberals are. They are destroying the very fabric of America by refusing to do what they did to start this country, what they did to build this country.
Yeah, well, that's what Malcolm X warned about in many speeches. But, this issue is actually extremely complex, and I've addressed this in so many words multiple times, where I get confused because when we do this identity politics of skin color, I mean, you take one look at me, I have white skin, there's no doubt. You take one look at Tommy, he has black skin, there's no doubt. But I mean, it's like, well, what quantifies whether you're white or not? I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a black Jew as the way they're portrayed. So Jews are technically white, but no, we're not white, so we don't count as the white supremacist here. So it's like this weird conflation of what it actually means to be white. I'm sick of all the identity politics. But since you bring up Meek Mill, okay, so the whole thing with P. Diddy, by the way, his house gets raided today, multiple homes, the FBI cover-up is on. When I see this Diddy stuff and the Meek Mill and the Usher stuff, I think it just confirms what we kind of assumed all along, was that if you really want to make it to the top of the rap game, you are either a homosexual or you're forced to perform homosexual acts in order to climb it onto the rap game. And it's funny because when you go back and you listen to some of the older rap music, it was built into some of the lyrics, some old T.I. songs, some old DMX songs. They basically say, I'm not gonna S a D to become successful. Most of these guys in the game aren't real. They're all gay. And it's basically in these lyrics. And now with all the Diddy stuff breaking, you're like, wait, they meant something by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you were talking earlier, you were talking about Biden having to bend the knee. Well, when you're going to get in a rap game, you got to bend the knee and the waist. The hard part about, and that I mean that in double entendre, the hard part about trying to get in the rap game isn't how hard you were when you were in the streets. It's probably how hard you allowed him to get when you're in the bed. And you watch these things from these grown men who say, and the women too, because again, I have to ask myself, what has Sexy Red said that would allow her to be promoting the degeneracy that she's promoting? She put up a post the other day and said, how many of you women waited the entire 6 weeks after you had a baby to have sex? I know I didn't. Some Jewish guy said, I paid Sexy Red to have sex. And she responded by saying, he said, I had sex with Sexy Red. And she said, you sure did. And you paid me. So what are they promoting? Violence, prostitution amongst a large swath of one group of people. And how are they getting away with it? They're paying them, and they're paying these people to go out and do it. Now, I don't look at them and say that they're innocent, because here's the thing. One thing I know about you, Owen, is nobody can pay you to say what it is they want them to say. You're a man of conviction. And I think America has lost it. And if you look at the rap game, they've lost that conviction that you and I grew up with when we heard them speaking about conviction. And something changed, the light switch, and now it's no longer conviction. It's I need money. And I don't know where it switched, but I don't think there's anyone left with courage and conviction in this brand of music that you and I grew up and actually loved at one point.
Well, money talks, as they say. And I think you look at how much money is in the industry now. You know, the crazy part about it, and I don't think it's just the rap industry. There's different angles to each one. But really, overall in the entertainment industry,
It's not even about who's the most talented or any of this stuff. It's who's willing to sell out. I actually feel bad for some of these individuals that specifically the young girls. And we're starting to learn more about this. You saw the Nickelodeon documentary just come out recently. But you hear about these young children, specifically young girls, and they get brought into this stuff. And who knows the level of abuse they take, the things that they have to do to become successful. And but that's what it is. It's like, well, who can we get in here to do what we want? What young girl can we get in here to do sex scenes for our HBO show or get naked for our movies? It's not even about who's talented. And so I think the same thing goes for the music industry in a way. You could have the most talented musician, but at a certain level, they will get cut off. Their songs will not get played on the radio. I constantly use an example because I think it's a great example is B.O.B. And there's all kinds of examples, but everybody remembers when B.O.B. was the hottest. He was the hottest guy in hip hop. I mean, every track he was on was top 50 hit, probably top charts, every song on the radio. Well, he never stopped making albums, but he started making albums about the Illuminati. He started making albums about how the rap game is controlled. He started making albums about how 9/11 was an inside job. Oh, all of a sudden you don't hear him on the radio anymore. How convenient.
Mm-hmm. But then you got somebody like Killer Mike who's still running around saying how white people are the problem, and they give him 3 Grammys. Killer Mike go on to all kinds of television. Them white people's problems. He sat right there in front of the View and said, I don't mess with white people and white people. And everybody sits there and laughs. But I'm thinking, how is this possible? I bet you he couldn't go on a show and say, I don't mess with Jewish people. Jewish people. And so it appears that if you bend the knee and the waist, you can get somewhere, and if you don't, you won't. And conviction is a strong thing. But I think the audience has to be able to help as well. The audience has to want to be fed the truth instead of wanting to be fed a lie, which is why you have whoever owns a lot of these social media platforms. They were smart. You know what they did, Owen? They put the power of the knife in the hands of the people who were most fragile. They told those people, we are not going to be the ones who stop free speech. You are. We're going to give you these flag buttons. We're going to allow you to flag things you don't like. And you get the weakest people. They wake up every day looking for what? They'll follow you, Owen, longer than the people who are actually your fans. They will try and make sure you can't be here. And then when you go somewhere else, they'll follow you there to try and flag you there. And then they'll try to flag you there. And then when they can't get you down, then they will complain and tell the people who own the thing, you know what? We're going to boycott. We're going to boycott what it is that you're selling on here. And most of the things that those people say they're going to boycott, they don't even use. You listen to black folks talk about what it is they're going to boycott. And you say, we're going to boycott Perk Plus shampoo. You don't use that. We don't have this. These are things we don't do. And yet they allow us to sit up there and push these companies, and the companies allow it to be pushed themselves. So we have a people called consumers who, if they wanted the truth, they could demand the truth. So they give the power to the weakest of the consumers. Because here's the biggest problem. People who feel like they were oppressed, if you ever give them power, they will become worse than their oppressors. And right now, feeling or being oppressed is monetized. So you have so many people now who come out and say things that they don't even go through. The majority of women that you used to see during Black Lives Matter rallies, those women lived in suburban areas. Those women were the same ones who, like right now in Baltimore and counties and cities around the United States, you know what they're begging for? The opposite of what they asked for about 3 years ago, which was what? Defunding the police. Mm. Now they're wondering where the police are. Now they're begging for that same thing that you and I told them, you don't want it. And doesn't it kind of feel like we are the adults in the room when the liberals are around, that we're trying to tell them you don't want to put your hand on that stove because here's what's going to happen? Well, we tried to tell them, and now it's coming back, but they still are living in their bliss, just like Hansel and Gretel, where they're getting fed for the slaughter.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. And when we come back from this break, because here's what I mean, you put dots together. You look at the constellation. We know what Harvey Weinstein was doing to get young actors and actresses into the scene. I mean, that came out as public. We learn more about what goes on at places like Nickelodeon with this Dan Schneider documentary that comes out. Now we're learning more about this Diddy thing. The FBI is probably going to cover it all up with this raid today. But nonetheless, you put these things together and you realize there's a lot of abuse.
There's people that are willing to put up with the abuse for the paycheck. But see, I think the challenge that we have is to not swing and miss, because it's easy to make blanket assumptions and statements. And then when you swing and miss, then all of a sudden nobody wants you to come up to the plate because you swing and miss. And I'll bring this to another example of something that developed over the weekend with Miley Cyrus. But I think there's a difference between somebody like Miley Cyrus or somebody like Drake Bell, where some people took the abuse, other people were kind of like riding on a high with it. We'll be right back. So I'm just trying to give advice or do good commentary that leads to success and victory. And one of the examples I try to use, and this is through experience, where there could be people that I really trust, or there could be people that I view with a high level of respect, and then they'll say something that I just know is completely wild and inaccurate, and the respect level just goes way down. I mean, I hear people making up all kinds of things, like, say, for example, the situation I'm close to. Alex Jones or InfoWars. And so it could be people that are really good with their commentary and coverage, but then they say something about Alex or InfoWars is just wildly outrageous, and I'm just like, okay, well, now it's hard for me to have any more respect for you. You're completely wrong. And so we can't engage in that stuff. We can't reach and then swing and miss and look like fools so that nobody wants us to go to bat for them ever again. And so it's very important to be focused when we deal with these issues, specifically dealing with Hollywood. Not everybody in Hollywood is a pedophile or an abuser. And so when you start to make crazy accusations and stuff, it unfolds, and then other people will see you, or even, you know, potential famous Hollywood conservatives will say, well, I want nothing to do with this. They make radical accusations. And so I don't really know how else to kind of codify that, but we have a lot of information recently coming out. There's stuff that we know, like Harvey Weinstein, Dan Snyder, now this Diddy abuse stuff. There's stuff that we know that we can sink our teeth into and actually talk about. But like the other day, I saw people piling on Miley Cyrus because she put out her schedule from when she was, I think, like 12-year-old or something, working at Disney, and her busy schedule starts at 5:30 in the morning. And it's all these anti-Hollywood conservatives like, oh my God, it's child abuse. She's getting up at 5:30. It's like, calm down. Have you not lived in America? Plenty of young people get up at 5:30 that are serious about athletics or music. I remember getting up at 5:30 for swimming, for baseball tryouts. I mean, have you ever played hockey? Like, there's all kinds of stuff. And so how do we make sure that people are focusing on the real stuff? Because I just look at it, it's important for our populist movement. It's important for commentary that's logical and based in common sense. When we start reaching and grabbing at everything that's low-hanging fruit, that's how we turn potential people off from our common sense movement.
I think they actually put people out there to do that. So if your movement is too strong, they'll have a person, you'll think that they're pretty cool, you'll put them on their show, and the next thing you know, they've said something that you don't believe in. It was one of the things that used to happen to me a lot. I used to say, people are bastardizing my movement. They would start off saying, hey, I like Tommy, and we think just alike. Then you'd say something insane, and that was the part that would then turn people off. They're putting people in all these movements that are being successful, who go in there and they're tinfoil hat people to just, because you don't have to destroy the movement by putting the people in jail or destroy the movement by not allowing them to broadcast. No, no, no. You can destroy it by having people who they can say, well, they are attached and this guy's nuts. So we're going to say that all of you are nuts. We're going to say we can throw the baby out with the bathwater. When you brought up those names, Hollywood continues to promote Roman Polanski, who was convicted of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl. When you listen to what happened with Bryan Singer, he was able to do two of your best X-Men, then Bohemian Rhapsody. And what was he accused of doing to little boys at his mansion with other grown men? Now, these stories don't get to come out. They get brushed over. You see how Jeffrey Epstein was able to be around all the biggest elites in the world. And look what he was doing with children. This is a real thing, but we don't focus on it because we have people who would rather be tinfoil hat people and ruin the movement to where you overlook it. When you think of what was going on with Diddy, this is not just Diddy. You look at rock and roll, and what has rock and roll always been? Or boy bands. Grown men with teenagers lusting after them. Let me give you another example. A lot of people don't think of it. You remember the group BBD? They came from a New Edition, Bell Biv DeVoe. They have a lyric in a song called Poison. He says, I think it's Do Me. It says, backstage, underage, adolescent, how you doing? Fine. She replied, I want to see you do me. Move to the jacuzzi. Ooh, that booty. Smack it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. You have a person by the name of Rick James who said she was only 17. 17, that girl was sexy. I had him on my show before he died, Benny Mardones. His top song was, she's just 16 years old. Leave her alone, they say. And he invented, he has a video for it where he's putting the 16-year-old on a magic carpet and flying her away because he's in love with her. Now, this has been a thing. So we can say that our sensibilities have changed. But I don't think this will ever change. Black women walk around today and they say, the most disrespected group of people in America are black women. The most least protected group in America are black women. Your producer's a great guy. That guy is on it. But they say this. But do you know who's really the least protected? And how about the most exploited? Children. You have movements of grown people saying, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Do you understand that they say that for no excuse, you should put your hand on a woman? But there's no person that says there's no excuse to put your hand on a child. Yet a woman has more knowledge of the world than a child. Even when they say get out of a bad situation, a boat sinking, they say women and children first. So apparently we just don't care about kids. At all.
Well, and I think the ultimate proof here, and not to go down this, but I mean, the ultimate proof has to be the trans kids movement. I mean, this is just absolutely ludicrous that this is even existing. This notion that you would chop off a boy's genitals or chop off a girl's breasts or give them chemicals to stop their natural development.
Mm-hmm. And you watch what they did with Dwayne Wade's son. You watch what they're doing with everybody's child. And here's one thing you and I knew. Because one of the reasons probably you got on the swim team is because not only did you like swimming, but you like what comes along with it when you're really good at it. Athletics have always done that. And one of the things that comes along with it is acceptance. Football, I used to love football because you could be the guy who was 350 pounds. But if you're the left tackle now on the winning football team, when you walk down the hall, instead of them calling you big fat boy, they're shaking your hand and you get to college, they're calling you big frat boy. You're getting the same attention, you're getting adulation, and it's a great thing. Well, what happens to the kids who can't get those things? You know what they've given them now? Especially the little boys, because they don't really do it for the girls as much, because they want to effeminize men. The little boys get credit for turning gay. The little boy gets credit for wearing dress now. So you're encouraging a sixth grader or heck a six-year-old who might feel like an outcast that no one wants to be around. If I put on a dress, every adult will come and trot me out in front of the world. I will now be a hero / heroine. There you go. And you see that is insane because we know children. Heck, if you could have told me when I was a child that I could walk around with a cape on and be Superman, you think I wouldn't have done it and that everybody's going to cheer for me and they're going to pretend that I'm flying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like if you reward any behavior, I mean, you can say good or bad. You reward any behavior, you're going to promote it. It's like, hey, every time you read a book, you can get a toy from the treasure chest. Now it's, hey, change your gender and you can get a gold star on the board. And so, of course, this is. But see, you know, the whole thing with Dwayne Wade, because, you know, we just notice things when you're in media and you're a media critic. Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union got like 30 TV and commercial deals as soon as they turned their firstborn son into a girl. I don't think that's a coincidence. But even for adults, they reward it. And it just shows, oh, I'll sacrifice my firstborn, but give me the money.
Yeah. And it's been that way, though. So just to even double back on the Hollywood thing, Demi Moore talked about her mother who sold her to a Hollywood producer for $500. Sold her sex, made her sleep with a grown man for $500. It's always been, that's why I said it's the room, when they're talking about, oh, we got to protect these women. No, a lot of these women are putting these children in this position. And if you look at it, a lot of these girls who are being sex trafficked, guess where they come from? The same place that a lot of Al-Qaeda and gang members come from. Single mother homes.
All right, that is Tommy Sotomayor. Don't go anywhere.
All right, we're covering the real issues here with Tommy Sotomayor. Like, did the movie Kazam ever exist? Did the movie ever exist? We're covering the real issues. This is the type of talk. I walk back there to deal with some logging, and they're talking about the movie Kazam. Did it exist? I don't know. That's another one for another day.
Still exists, though.
Yeah. Is there a VHS? Can anybody give me a copy of Kazam or Shazam or I don't know? It's a mystery. It befuddles all of us. Hey, how about this, though, as we lighten the mood? CNN, now this, it's funny how liberals and Democrats always do this. They'll change the way they talk depending on who they're talking to. And so it's a CNN host who usually she talks like a professional talk show. It's very, very pronounced and you know, keeps it straight, kind of like Don Lemon back in the day. But she changes the way she's talking. They bring on, Tommy, I don't know if you've seen this. This is like, I don't even know. I want to get your response. So they bring on a rapper. I guess her name is Gorilla. So they bring her on to promote Democrat Party politics to black women. And it goes like this.
How popular you are, how talented of an artist you are, how many accolades and nominations and everything you've got going on, at least with what you have planned for the summer coming ahead with a concert and a tour, the idea of them inviting you there in particular, did they talk to you about what they wanted politically? Did they want your endorsement? Did they want you to help people get out the vote?
Hey, you know, that ain't got nothing to do with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. But, you know, I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying, talk politics, but I love the president. You know what I'm saying? I love everybody. And at the end of the day got to end.
At the end of the day got to end. That sounds like a Kamala Harris quote. I don't think that went how they wanted it to.
No. Well, hold on a second. Sometimes the things go the way you want it to and you just play it off. I think they probably thought she would say something a little more coherent than that. But then when you bring up a female with a tattoo of a gorilla on her chest and her name is Glorilla, when you bring up an individual who will stick 99 inches of somebody else's hair on top of their head, and then she has this, what they call baby hair painted onto her head, tattoos all over the place, and this is supposed to be representing black women, I'm telling you, if they're not offended by it, that tells you a lot. And the Democratic Party knows this, because every year they trot out a new trollop to go out there and do this. Do they not? Meg the Stallion, you have her out there doing it. Then a year before, Cardi B. Well, who's going to tell you more about politics than Cardi B? And then they just keep trotting these disgusting... Look, if you see the gorilla on her in her chest, that's insane. Who does this? And then every day they put on somebody, the blonde hair, red hair, green hair, just refuse to walk out in their own hair and then talk about white supremacy and the white beauty standards. This woman on there is a professional, supposedly. And she's trying her best.
I never heard of her.
Well, no, not there. Not that one. No, that's a...
Oh, the CNN anchor. Right.
Yeah. I know sometimes it's hard to tell.
Yeah. She's a professional, too.
The professional at what, we have no idea. But the point is, you see she was trying to carry it across as I'm being a professional, but trying to reach down like, let's just say, Hillary Clinton reaching into the purse and pulling out some hot sauce, or somebody by the name of Joe Biden bringing a bunch of chicken to some black folks.
I mean, the guy brought fried chicken to a black guy's house. I mean, that's like an SNL skit.
I know.
It's like, we should actually do this. I want Tommy to invite me over for like dinner, and I'll just show up with fried chicken and watermelon to be like, hey, Tommy, look, I brought some fried chicken and watermelon. People be like, what the hell is going on here?
And make sure you bring the big bucket, the old school KFC bucket. So have it under here and have like a 2 liter of great drink. And I need you to walk in like that and be like, I just wanted you to fit at home. Because if you look at a lot of these.
Yeah, I'm really into this grape drink, aren't you, Tommy?
But it's like, what is in the minds of these professionals who went to school in order to do this thing that they say that they want to do? What changed to now where they're saying, because I know you said Don Lemon always kept it straight, but I mean, I don't think Don Lemon's ever been straight. The point is, I look and say, why don't they get offended? But then that's what the liberal schools are teaching them, aren't they? That it's no longer about journalism. It's about tribalism.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's even beyond the journalism aspect. And think about when Joe Biden went on the show with Charlemagne, and Biden makes the most like blatantly racist thing you could ever say, and Charlemagne just sits there and takes it. It's almost like, it's like, hey, the Democrats still want you to sell yourself out, just not to them, right? Like, sell yourself out just to us, not to them, just a little bit to us. Honestly, I think this is all going to go sideways. And that's why I actually am a sexy red stan here. Not just that I'm loyal to St. Louis, but I'm actually a sexy red stan because she's kind of came out in support of Trump. I have a feeling that the hip hop community before the election is going to sway and kind of support Trump because it's kind of more culturally popular than say, you know, fried chicken Biden.
Yeah, but see, that goes back to what I was telling you before. When you get somebody that comes into your group and they say, when we say, I relate to her because she'll vote for Trump. Well, then we start to sometimes not be any different than anyone else. And then when they do something really wild, they say, well, all of y'all are stupid because you supported that person. That person is still an idiot, even though that person supports Trump. You can be an idiot and support Trump. You can be an idiot and go to church. You can be a molester and hang out with kids. You can do a lot of these things and still be wrong. And I look at her and a lot of these other people and know that what they're doing is making it to where they can ruin each side. Remember, if they have fools in the Democratic Party like Glorilla, and we can point out that that fool was voting for Biden, if they put another fool saying that they're going to vote for Trump, can't they do the same thing?
But that's always against the narrative. I feel like supporting Trump is against the narrative. I mean, look what happened when Nicki Minaj came out against the vaccines and they all attacked her. I mean, she did a song recently kind of alluding to that she might like Trump, too. I get what you're saying, though, and it does go back to what I said. We can't let idiots lead us astray and then make us look stupid when the rubber meets the road, because it sets us up for failure, quite frankly. But I'm not really a purist in that regard. And so anytime somebody leaves the plantation of the entertainment industry to actually promote what they actually believe, I kind of respect them a little bit. All right, I got one more question, because I've seen this debate going viral. I've even had this debate with other individuals like Hotep Jesus and Bryson Gray. And that's this issue of is the violence that we see in the youth, Is it really a racial issue, or is it just that we see the videos? Is it being falsely promoted? Like the one that went viral recently was actually in my hometown of St. Louis. I happen to know this area because I'm from there. It is a majority black school. And yeah, if you're white in one of these schools, it's probably better off you don't show up or just keep your head down. That's just the culture there. But yeah. the girl gets her head slammed into the concrete. She's in a coma. She's finally breathing. Looks like she's going to live. Well, now the other family is saying, well, that the girl that slammed her head into the concrete is the victim. They've started to go find me. So I'm just curious. Do you think there's an actual issue with violence in the youth being geared towards racism or anti-white? Or do you think we just are getting fed this? Do you think fights have always happened, but now that we have cell phones, we see them everywhere? What is your conclusion? Have you reached a conclusion with this?
I'm not going to like it, but I have reached a conclusion because I've lived black for a long time. I haven't been black my whole life, though. And I came up Jewish a little bit and was white for a couple of years. And then around 13, I decided I'm going to settle on black. So I've been black since I was 13. And let me tell you something. The violence that blacks put on each other is real. You see about the 19-year-old girl who was stabbed to death in Brooklyn. That was a 20-year-old black man who stabbed her to death and was stabbed her twin sister. And what ended up happening was the public is telling you that, oh, he was rejected, hence he did it. But what happens every day is the disrespect. It was not only was she calling him all kinds of names, trying to embarrass him, but then hit him along with another man. And that's how this ended up going the way it did. We have single mothers promoting violence every day. And what you're doing now is seeing what used to always happen. And when it comes to violence against whites, it's promoted. Every black person, it appeared, seemed to say that white girl got what she deserved. Have you noticed every time something white happens, I mean, something bad happens to a white, especially female, black females cheer it, from Natalie Holloway to any of them. You don't see them saying, I have remorse, which is why I have a problem with liberal white women, because they are going around saying, well, we should help the black women. The black women hate your guts. They literally hate your guts. If you date one of their men, what do they say? You're taking our men. I've never seen white women, when they see a black woman date Travis Kelce, say, they're taking our men.
I think so Travis Kelce downgraded with Taylor Swift, but that's a whole nother story. We're out of time. We're out of time. Tommy, where can people find you? Hurry.
You can find me on my website, tjskoc.com. Let's get it.
Great follow. Tommy, great time today. Thank you.